Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Ground Zero, celebrating Love and Abundance, hosted by Anaya Best and Reginald Bloom. We celebrate by recognizing the small steps and leaps and bounds of individuals and activist groups who have led us further away from slavery and closer to full freedom, from mass incarceration through efforts for justice reform and in society at large. Today, we'd like to talk about leadership, black leadership in the face of resistance. And what I would like to, we're going to have a guest on, Julian Jackman, who's been on here before, who is actively engaged in the struggle of being a positive influence as a black man in the community and overcoming the challenges of resistance to black leadership. And there's no replacement for experience. You go through a textbook, and we can explain all day. But you have to go ahead and dip your toes in the water, jump in, and cannonball your way into the struggle and fight to lead. So there's a lot of different perspectives and styles, and we'd like to give you our perspective, not just as being, but also Anaya Best will be introducing her views about the leadership of black women in the face of resistance to their leadership. In the face of resistance to black leadership is the title of the show. If you'd like to call in, please do so. And call the switchboard at 657-383-1630. And please go donate to the AATrustFund.org website and read and make any comments on the blog site that you would like to have us answer on there. Julian, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing good, brother. I'm doing good. Better than most. How's that?
Hey, I'm saying that's a blessing. You know, sometimes when I'll be getting down and everything, I start reminding myself of my limbs are working, my mental faculties are intact, and I know where my next meal coming from.
That's it.
And that's a blessing because that's a foundation I can build from and do things. The show today is about black leadership, and I know you've got a lot of experience when it comes to the resistance to your leadership, no matter what style that leadership is in. I know in my experience, when it comes to resistance to black leadership, the first thing that I always experience is a massive and major challenge to my qualifications. And then I experience animosity towards me, as if I think I'm better than somebody by exhibiting my qualifications.
Yes.
So it's like, whoa, damn if I do, damn if I don't. It's like, you don't want me to be a leader in this situation.
That's right. Yeah, hey, you know, I can speak on this wholeheartedly all day long. I'm faced with it every day. You know, I'm in a community in Boone County that, you know, they desire my experience. But because of my my past, which I'm a convicted felon, a violent offender at that I was convicted of. But because of those convictions, exactly, that's the main hurdle right there in society that I'm overcoming. But not only that, you spoke very well on the experience. Who greater to speak on the experience of marginalized areas or going through the trials and tribulations of conviction and things that I've gone through, I'm an expert at that, you know, and I'm trying to figure out now, and today's society. How do I put letters behind my name so I can stay in respect for someone who wrote a book who's never walked in my shoes? So
this call is from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
So I run into this every day until someone gets to speak with me or sits down and reads my material, which I've written a lot of curriculum and books upon what I do facilitate. So when they get to see me and figure out, whoa, this guy knows what he's talking about, or he sees me in action, or he or she sees me in action with the experience that I'm having with an individual who's going through something, and they see where my experience is needed, not only then is when I'm speaked out and, you know, saying, hey, can you help us with this or help us with that? But it's, man, it's so hard to try to get people to understand that I have an experience of something, and it's life, you know, and that's to be respected also, and it's not. It really isn't.
So you got a double whammy on you. You're a black man, and you got a complete development.
Yes.
That creates even greater obstacles and hurdles. And it creates a situation where you have to develop a unique skill set. And that's one of the things that I really want to touch on, because the obstacles are diverse and come in different combinations, right? But the thing, one of the skill sets I developed is how do you lead in the face of resistance? In other words, how do you lead people, man, who are resistant to your leadership? They want your leadership. They need your leadership. But what methods do you use? Because I know with me, right, I take a page out of my mother's playbook sometimes where she always say, make them think it's they got you.
That's right. That's a good one.
Make them think it's their idea, and then they'll be more willing to use it, right? And what I take that philosophy that my mother laid on me, right? And what I do is I'll approach a situation and push a person by leading from behind. They say it's impossible, right? But it's not impossible. I have you enjoy when actually I'm making two suggestions at key points in order to keep things going in the direction that it needs to go. That's a method that has worked for me.
That's right.
And I'm a nerd in role. This world is not going to accept me as a leader, as a black man.
No.
My dominance is incredible.
Right.
So I gotta intellectualize my leadership.
We have to. We have to because of where we come from and what we've been through. You know, and I definitely give kudos to my guys that have came out of our situation, who have went back to school, they were granted certain degrees and so forth, and you know, a lot of them get that certain recognition, but the respect isn't always there that they deserve for what they've been through and what they had to overcome. For me, when I'm faced with that opposition, and I'm going to call it opposition because that's what it is, man, it's opposition. When I'm faced with that resistance and that opposition, one thing that I make sure that I always do is I keep telling myself my worst. And that's what a strong leader will always recognize, is their voice. When I walk into a room with certain people that have alphabets after their name, I know I am worthy of being in that room because of what I know and what I've been through, and I'm confident of that. So when I speak to them, you know, I speak very fluently on the things that I have learned, the things that I've overcome, what I've went through, so what I'm pretty much doing is showing them that the information that I know is innate. And I don't mess around with that. I stand on it. You know, so when I teach these things, I'm speaking these things, they know I know my information. I know my worth. I know what my experiences have taught me. And that goes a long way. But it's hard when you're met with that kind of opposition who don't believe in you, who doesn't doesn't give you the respect that you deserve. And then on top of that, I mean, we'll just put it out there. We'll treat you like trash. So you have to really remember your worth. I think that's the biggest thing for me and guys that are doing what I'm having to go through. You know, there's a lot of us that came out of prison. We, you know, have all these certifications that we got in prison. You know, we taught, you know, for decades. But when we get out here, that stuff is not going to be recognized. Society is not going to recognize what we have done within those walls. So when we get out here, I'm having to do everything all over again. So trauma-informed care certification, I'm having to go back through. Peer specialist certification, these are things that I'm having to acquire because I need somebody to believe in my work.
Because I'm saying you can't take a prison ID and drive a car.
No, sir.
And you can't take a prison certificate and get a job as an electrician.
No.
That certification is not for the transmit.
That's right.
And well, I'm saying, but the thing is, though, you still have the knowledge.
Exactly, that's
where we got to intellectualize our leadership and acquire the and it's truly we got to work twice as hard.
That's right.
And what that means is I have to fight to educate and learn everything to the point where I can do everything by myself.
Yes.
I have to figure out how to do things twice or three times faster and just as good, just in case I have to do everything myself.
That's right.
And because ain't nobody finna run up and take work out. Because I'm seen and viewed as somebody that is home to work. I'm viewed as a laborer. I'm not viewed as a leader. So a laborer ain't finna come run up and try to impress me with his labor skills.
That's right.
If I was
correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
Working in an electronics lab. Or I was but we as black men, we as black people would have seen as laborers. Like I said, that's where we gotta learn. I use that message that my mother taught me. Make them think it's their idea. What you thinking of?
Yeah.
Yep. We still here?
What I think, I don't know. It's an interesting conversation to have when we talk about how we were upbrung and how, you know, you listen to people we respect and people who lead us and we listen to their advice versus reading a book and then you get advice from them and they tell you the different things of a leadership, what a leader should and should not be. For like my understanding of leadership, it's never really been about having people follow me. And me and Reggie have talked about this in other conversations. I don't care if anybody's following. It's not really about that. It's really about the organizing and the communal peace to having people with different skills working together and who are the people making sure that these people work together. And the people making sure all these moving pieces are working together could, quote unquote, be the leaders. But if you're able to instill those certain concepts that allow people to understand, like if Reggie died tomorrow, right, and he had leaders, I mean, if he had followers, those followers wouldn't be able to take his place. But what I'm talking about is more of a sense of we keep these people helping make sure the pieces are moving together, but if all those people die tomorrow, the people who are moving, who are those moving pieces, all they have to do is assume the role, which is making sure that life goes on and the system that we have built keeps on moving around. I don't believe in that idea that, like, oh, you can only give certain pieces to certain people. You can only give certain knowledge to a slave, but a leader, a person, a free man, a person who is able-bodied, able-thinking, free will, uses his free will for conscious decisions, that person can know all parts of the moving wheel, even if they only move one piece of the wheel. Because you never know what's going to happen when somebody got to assume the role of making sure the system stays together. And that's how I've always thought about leadership and stuff like that. I've never took the colonizer's view on leadership, and it never really made sense to me. So.
I'm feeling it because the systematic means of leadership and structural leadership, and it creates a means by which leadership can continue.
Exactly.
And, you know, and I used to operate upon the principle, right? And I still do. And it's a simple principle of I'm a man among men, and I'm a leader among men. In other words, I want to teach you how to lead. I want you to teach me how to lead. I want to show you how it is for me to be a man. Let me see what kind of man you are, so we can make each other stronger. That's my own woman. And then I'm thinking while you were talking tonight, as a female, a black female, that creates a different whammy for you when it comes to leading in the face of resistance or opposition to your leadership. What is it when it comes to leading as a woman and in the face of opposition?
In the face of opposition for a woman, it can, like, so that opposition can take form in so many different ways, right? It could be, I have a barrier because they think I'm weaker, or simply because they think I'm inferior, or, Reggie is about to hang up.
Yeah, I'm gonna call right back.
All right. And then it could also take form in the opposition could also take form in the form of I'm a woman and I'm too bold or I say too much. So it's either I'm too little or I'm too less. And how I've always come to take that is I'm a listener first. So every room I walk into, I listen first. I don't speak first. So that way, everybody shows their cards before I'm ever denied or granted access into anything. And then the second thing, we are getting Reggie back on the line. We're getting Reggie back on the line. Mr. Julian, you still there?
I'm
here. All right, we're getting Reggie back on the line. Give me a second.
To permanently block your number for receiving calls, thank you for using Securus.
Yeah, so boom. And then in the face of those two oppositions on either way, like I said, I go into the room and I listen first. I let people show their hand. I let people put into, and they just assume that I'm on board because I'm quiet, right? So I listen first. And then on the second thing that I do is I try to make sure that in any space that I go into, I have a male dominant presence, a black male dominant presence with me, because the one thing that I love to do and what I love doing is, I don't have the word for it, it's not coming to me, but I discern those positions, especially common points and common structures, to that male figure. Like, and normally this is able to happen because we've already had the conversation. So I allow that male presence to say those things for me, all those common things, those commonalities that are like, you know, everybody pretty much agrees or disagree with, or it's always those talking points that's brought up in every discussion. I allow that male figure to lead that type of conversation. And then I also allow them to be able to discern, because I feel that men are black men have a better ability to read the room. And I'm not saying black women can't read the room, but I've always respected the black male's point of view when they read the room better than mine. Even when I've tried, you know what I'm saying, and stuff happens, it just is very common that I like the male's point of view better than my own. So I allow them to read the room, and once they cue me in, then I take it from there and I elevate the conversation, if it's worthy of it, to the next level of what I love to speak on and the things that I hold close to me as a dear woman and those things that makes my perspective unique. When I get to rooms with multiple people, I and especially if I don't know them or if I'm trying to if I'm trying to cultivate experiences with others, it's never for me about, like, for me, it's about getting past that baseline conversation. And that's why I love my male presence. And when that male presence isn't there, I typically don't say anything. I will stay in the room. I'll be a part of that room. I will join in from the perspective of those people who are in the room once I know it, and that's it. But you will never get the true Anaya, because I don't get that unless I have my, I mean, you don't get that unless you have my other half there, if that makes sense. So, yeah, that's how I deal with leadership.
I'd like to make a recommendation to anybody that's listening. Thank you for listening. There's a book called How to Make Friends and Influence You, right? And that's a good read. There's a lot of people that read it. It's about social manipulation and leadership and different things like that. But it's a method that has worked to serve a lot of people. I live, of course, in my heart. And I put my heart out there. I educate myself to try and know what I'm talking about, but I'm a firm believer that if your heart is in it, you can't go wrong. If you speak it from the heart when you're giving a speech, you can't go wrong. If you put your heart into the work that you're doing, you can't go wrong. And when it comes to being a leader, one of the things that I look at in controlling situations, and it's important to get control of your life in order not to come to prison in the first place. And to keep from coming to prison, you got to be a leader in your own shirt. You got to be your own person. And one of the things I found is time, perspective, and circumstance, right? Those three things are nowhere. Because time, perspective, and circumstance dictate the outcome of all situations. Regardless of regardless of what the truth is or is not, regardless of what somebody introduced into the situation or the factual basis of background, time, perspective, and circumstance dictate the outcome at the end of the day. And that's something to take. That's a grain. That's a grain of wisdom I'd like to throw out into what my mother gave for a person to take and utilize and get control of their life, so that they don't have to turn to crime or become a follower and end up in prison trying to fit in with other people that's leading them in the wrong direction. They know they shouldn't be going.
That's
right. Yeah, June.
I always go back to this, you know, and we've been saying it, you know, books you're asking people to read, and we're talking about education. It's really important that we speak to our future, which is our children, you know, and I speak to, you know, the kids that I deal with in these marginalized areas, you know, they tell me how much they don't like school, so I have to always give them the PowerPoints of what an education does for them. And one of those is leadership. You know, without education, it's hard to be a strong leader. Without having knowledge and education and what you're doing in life, it's hard to be a good leader in your field. So I always preach to them the importance of education, reading books, educating your mind and growing, always learning, always be teachable. You know, these are the things I'll always tell, you know, the children that I'm working with, because I know that I wasn't, and I know where it led me. I followed the wrong path. So I know that when I started educating myself and learning who I am, man, it made me so strong as a leader, because now I had that knowledge that I needed to be able to lead properly. And I think without an education, man, you just can't be a strong leader. And if you are a leader, you're leading in all the wrong areas of life. You're leading, like you said, going down that wrong path. Someone's going to lead you down that path. Those are the people that you don't want to lead. You want to be able to lead yourself, because you have the knowledge and education and experience in your life to know better. So definitely, education to me is a plus. And I'm going to keep preaching it to the young brothers and sisters that I work with, because they just need to know that importance, man, of a good education and be a good, strong leader.
And it improves and enhances your quality of life. And it helps you, and it'll help you take better care of the ones that you say you love. And actually show them the valuable love and make the most of your quality. This show is about to close out the minute. I would like to thank everybody that's been listening. I love you all. Pray that we successfully reduce the crime rate. Pray that we successfully reduce the prison population. And that we find a way to overcome the corporate Confederate agenda to maintain slavery and And I ask you to help and support the efforts of the African American Trust Fund. I'm getting the word out there for African American people to have our own intellectual banking system to support our intellectual property ideas and innovations, so that we can industrialize and build our own global system and to set ourselves free from economic slavery. Love you, and may we all find a way to lead one another to a better sense.
This call is from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
Good night.
Yep. That's all. We got 1 minute left. Thank you all for tuning in. I want to say thank you, Julian, Mr. Julian Jacqueline, for giving your perspective. This is the third segment that we've had on leadership, and this has been Ground Zero with Anai Betts and Reginald Clemens. Peace out, y'all.
Peace.